Where are we holding? Right? Where are we right now? So I'm sure you heard discussion of the relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in terms of Ruchnias, in terms of Gashmias. Right? In terms of Ruchnias, so the process, the methodology of the din. Now, this is something, first of all, we just got to come to grips with. Just like there's an order to the physical universe, there is an order, an absolute order, to the metaphysical universe. Just like there's an order to the world of gravity, of conservation of mass and energy, of chemistry, of biology, of physics, of math, there's an order. For sure there's an order in the metaphysical universe as well. There has to be an order. It's not sort of like everything spiritual is like,
shala.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. Everything has got an order to it. So Pesach comes, certain things are happening Pesach time, certain things are happening Shavuot time, certain things are happening Sukkot time, certain things are happening Purim, Hanukkah, something is happening every day. Every day. It's not just, it's another day. You've seen one tree, you've seen them all. Every day is different. Every day is sustained by a different combination of Shemos Hashem multiplied by the coefficient of the day, the month, and the year from Bria to Olam. So no 2 days are exactly the same. No 2 days. Menos Yomenu Kein Oda, teach us to count our days. Those are sort of things like, what difference does it make? One more day. And that's not a reason to become neurotic, right? If you become neurotic, you haven't served anybody in good stead, not yourself or anybody else, you're certainly not the Lord. But we have to know that a day is unique unto itself, just like each one of us is unique unto ourselves. The combination that makes us up, our mind, our heart, our handicaps, our strengths, etc., that combination is unique. It hasn't passed through the portals of time before, in the way that we have it, per se. So there are things such as things still going, etc., but the fact is exactly the way who we are, how we are unique. We're unique. So as we pass through the stream of time, every day being different, there's something for us to be doing every single day, every single second. If we do something good with it, it's ours forever. If we let it slide by, if we do something bad with it, God forbid, lokakhta. That's the nature of things. So there's a metaphysical order to the universe. The way the Grah, the Chal, the Tosfos basically explain is what took place on Rosh Hashanah. What took place on Rosh Hashanah is that with regard to the level or the wavelength of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Ruchnias, so if we're in the world of the Tzaddikim, so we're set. The wavelength has been established. If God forbid we're in the other book, the book we don't want to talk about, so the wavelength is also established. The chances are that we're probably all Beinoni. Probably. We're all different within the category of Beinoni. In the middle there. For the Beinonim, so the job description, or I should say the level of wavelength of connection in terms of Ruchnias, we're Tsluyim. We're hanging in there. We're hanging. We're like in limbo. We're in the twilight zone. Until Yom Kippur. Right? Until Yom Kippur. Then Yom Kippur will decide, Hashem, I should say, will decide what our wavelength is in terms of connection of Ruchnias. In terms of Gashmias, in terms of how this wavelength of Ruchnias will play itself out in the physical world in terms of what we call Tov, or what we call Mutav, what's good and what we have to think harder about how it's good, that sort of stuff. So for everybody, it started on Rosh Hashanah, and it doesn't complete itself until Yom Kippur. So we're very much in a state of flux right now. The world is gelling. the world began its recreation on Rosh Hashanah, right? That the world was recreated in terms of man, the day of creation of man, as we spoke about before, started on Rosh Hashanah. And the, as it were, the final gelling of what our position is in the world, our relationship with Hashem, and how He's going to pour down His connection, whatever wavelength it happens to be, upon us, in what fashion, is all going to be determined on Yom Kippur. It's going to be finished on Yom Kippur. So that's what we're holding right now. That's what we're holding. Now, the Ramban in Parshas Emor says that the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din B'Rachamim, and Yom Kippur is a Yom Rachamim B'Din. In other words, the nature of the day of Rosh Hashanah is very rarefied tincture of din. Tincture of din. But it's presented to us in a fashion of rachamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the capacity, because again, when we're talking about, are we worthy for recreation? Are we worthy to be recreated? Yeah. Completely attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Midas Adin, like we said, Midas Adin is not something which is, you know, I don't want to talk about that, that's bad. Midas Adin means to be completely, dynamically like this with Hashem. The upshot of that sometimes is if one strays, one leaves, so then there are ramifications to it. But it's not like the essence of Din is negative, right? The essence of Din is good, right? The essence of Din, but it's not so easy to live with it. So it's a rarefied tincture of Din on Rosh Hashanah. But it's presented to us, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the methodology of rachamim in order to be able to withstand that din. He gives us tekiya shofar, he gives us the tefilos, the malchios, the chronos, the shofros, etc. Right? These are all part of the order of being zochet to din, bidin, on Rosh Hashanah to one degree or other. Just like we know there are rules, the way one travels through space, yeah, one can only travel through space using an appropriate space vessel, right? One wishes to travel down to the bottom of the sea, right? One can't just do it, you know, any way they happen to choose. You have to go in a bathyscaphe, you've got to go report, you've got to go, there are certain tailings, there are certain devices that's used to go to certain places. By the same token also, because the book who gave us the tailing, he gave us the tool to be able to withstand the Yom HaDin in a fashion of rachamim. But what we're approaching now, though, is the Yom Rachamim B'Din. Right? Yom Rachamim B'Din. Yom Rachamim B'Din. Now, just to clarify, right now, if you'd ask me, do I feel like I'm regelling? Now, in terms of my creation, like, right? If you perceive that right now, you should go see a doctor, right? Because we don't see that. We don't see it right now. It's not the sort of thing that speaks to the physical mind. But the fact is, there are all different types of life. Life, as we know it, we talked about this a little bit before, in Eos, is that life can be generated to us from Hashem, who is Elohim Chaim, in which case we live Chaim Birtzono, we live as a function of His Ratzon, which is the way to be. Or life can also be Olam Kiminhago Noheg. As Shapiro, Moshe Shapiro, right? It says, explains it so beautifully. In other words, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the Romim came and they said, yeah, to Chazal, if your God, yeah, does not want that there should be Avodah Zarah, why didn't He just destroy it? So the reply to them is, well, it'd be all fine and dandy if He were if the Obdevar Zar were serving the things that weren't necessarily relevant to the continuity of the world, but if they're serving the sun or anything else necessary to the continuity of the world, what should you do? Destroy the sun? Ela olam kin min hago novi. It is really the ultimate point is that life continues either as living chayim birtzono, because Hashem is bestowing it upon us kol rega v'rega, every instant, or olam kin min hago novi. The world continues because if it weren't, it would not continue when people sin. There'd be no bechira. If the minute that I started saying lashon hara, my tongue were to dry up and turn to ashes, God forbid. Or if the minute I raised my hand to strike out at somebody, yeah, God forbid, my limb would disappear. Shalom. So then there'd be no bechira. Olam kimin hago noe. But it's not proof that necessarily that I'm attached right now to Ratzon Hashem. So just something to bear in mind. In other words, I can't assume that just because inertia is with me, that it means that I'm all defeated and there's nothing for me to fix. Again, this is not a reason for neuroses, but it is a reason for recall for thinking a little bit. So now, since Yom Kippur is Yom Rachamim B'din, and the motif of Yom Kippur is Rachamim. Incredible, incredible, incredible Rachamim. The Ratzon Hashem is to cleanse us. Mikvi Yisrael Hashem. He wants to, as it were, be mafil us into a grand mikvah, to be matire us. But it's bedin. It's not just a freebie. It's not just a freebie. You're okay, I'm okay, it's no sweat, forget about it. It has to come in some sort of association with din, because if it were not associated whatsoever with din, so then we're going back to the old story. It's all a freebie. We don't have to come down here. We can stay basking in the spiritual air. Why come to a world of darkness? Why come to a world of tests? Why come to a world where a person can mess up? Just stay upstairs. So there has to be some aspect of din. But if it's ikaron, but in essence, it's a din. It's a day of incredible rachamim. It's a yom rachamim bedin. It's amazing, amazing. What will take place on Yom Kippur is not something that's understandable in the world of Teva. Something that's broken is broken. It can't be fixed. Something's been damaged. You can't erase it. It is what it is. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing on Yom Kippur, and he wants to be matire us. Right? He wants us to become completely tahor. Completely tahor on Yom Kippur. What methodology do we use? He uses, yeah, we find in Aser Simei Tshuva and in Yom Kippur over and over again, we say, you've given me the Rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kilrachum, Vachanun, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed, Ve'emes, Notze Chesed, La'alafim, Notze Ovon, Vafesha, Vechata'o, Ve'nakei. Each one of those midos, right, requires a lengthy explanation, each one of them. But just the introduction, Hashem Hashem, two times Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya means he's the source of all existence. He's the source of all existence prior to sin, and as he gives me existence, right, even though he knows I'm going to sin. And the second Shem Havaya is he gives me renewed existence. I can reattach myself to Chayim Birtzono through tshuva. I'm recreated. It's an amazing thing. It just doesn't happen in the normal world, quote unquote. Things aren't recreated. They are what they are. They undergo change, and that change, the word is irreparable and not affected. You can't affect it. But not so in the world of tshuva. That's what we're holding. We're holding in flux between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Chances are that we're benonim, which means even our ruchniyah level of attachment has not yet been completely determined yet. Baruch Hashem, Be'ez Hashem, we made it, yeah, to that level out of Rosh Hashanah, that level of Rosh Hashanah on that Yom Din Berachamim. Our gashmiyah has been determined, and not for anybody for that matter has it been determined until Yom Kippur. till we reach the Yom Rachamim Bedin. And at Yom Rachamim Bedin, Hashem is standing there waiting. He wants to be Metaira, but it requires some action on our part. It has to have some flavor of din to it. Something, some change. Some reason why are we more deserving? Yeah, why are we more deserving, as it were, to get a renewed contract on life on a spiritual wavelength and life in terms of a temporal wavelength? Why? Let's look. What do we do? On the one hand, we call out to Hashem, 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 Tarachim B'chanim. We evoke though that rachamim dolim, that ratzon, to make sure that we have kiyum, that deep, deep ratzon, which is the highest ratzon. It only became revealed to the world after the sin, the Chet HaEgel. There was no place to go. Chazal say that the Chet HaEgel was comparable to aluva kala shizinsa bechupasa. What sort of bullshit is it to a kala, right? At the wedding, is nizana with somebody else. Where do you go from there? There's no place to go from there. How can you recreate a relationship with a chatan after you so betrayed him? It's not possible. It's not possible, is it? And yet, even though that was our status post the Chet HaEgel, that was our status. We just heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Min HaShemayim. It was all perfectly clear to us. The world was open. The universe was open. Reality was open to us from the deepest, remote, most part of existence. Yes, down to the bottom of the bowels of the earth. It was all perfectly clear to us. Ki Hashem Elokim, Eino Bilvado. And then we lost our marbles. We couldn't take the pressure. Moshe Rabbeinu's going to come back. How are we going to stay in control? How are we going to manage? How are we going to be in control? How are we going to control? How are we going to control? Nechot Nechet Egel. Instead of the magic, we will have a kalash and zinsu to kumpasa. There's no place to go from there. The only way to be able to rectify something like that is to reveal a level of connection that previously had not been known. To reveal a love of the chassan, for the kala, right? That it was long not been tapped into before. That's how much he was. He loves her. Then the red of notes, Yom Bamel Shlomo, Batar Shitra Lo, Imo, Yom Chassuna, Tov, Yom Simchas Libo. The chassan, the Ribon Shlom, life of the kala, Matan Torah. A new level of love. Hashem, Hashem, Torahum, Bechanun, Erech ha'payim v'chesed v'emes, not v'chesed l'alafim, not v'avon v'fesh v'chatov v'nakei. Kosh Baruch Hu is, if you can use the word, Kaviyochus, is desperate to bestow life upon us. That's how much he loves us. Zohar says, if a person realizes how much Kosh Baruch Hu loves us, he would roar like a lion and run after him. That's how much he loves us. Even after all the water has gone under the bridge, he wants desperately to bestow life upon us. But it requires a framework of din. It's Yom Rachamim, but the din. How do we talk about that din? So aside from trying to evoke Hashem's Rachamim, the Yugimu Mitzah Rachamim, we also say Vidui. Vidui. Vidui is not meant to be a perfunctory motion. Yeah. Did I finish yet? Right? As a perfunctory motion, it's worthless, or maybe it gives you a bruise on your turn. Right? What does Vidui do? So a thinker. Shimshon Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Lechavah, pointed out something very interesting. He said, we say in the introduction to Vidui, on Hashem, yeah? Tavol Lefonecha Tfilaseinu, Matifalim Metchinaseinu, She'ein Anachnu Azei Ponim Ukshe Oref, לומר לפניך, תדיב אנחנו ולא חתן, אבל אנחנו רבותינו חתן. This is a bizarre introduction to Vidui. Hashem, we are not such brazen individuals that we would say before you that we are righteous and have not sinned, but rather we have sinned. He says, what in the world is going on over here? Are we getting paid by the word? It's like walking into a makolet and saying, Mr. Baal Makolet, I am telling you, I am here not to buy cement, not to buy nuts and bolts. I am not here to buy clothing. I am here to buy milk, cheese, and bread. To which he'll say, I'll take the milk, cheese, and the bread, and I'm calling the men in the white coats to you. You're out for lunch. What are you talking about? You haven't told me what you're not coming to say? What you're not coming to buy? Of course you know you don't buy cement, nuts and bolts, or clothing in a makolet. Just get to the point, Bubi. You want milk? Bakasa. You want bread? Bakasa. Cheese? Whatever you like. Says the Pinkus. He says, because if the point were Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, just to say it, yeah, and somehow as a talisman, yeah, some sort of a shigula, some sort of a shigula, if I say Ashamnu, it's really hard. It's going to take it away. If that's the way it works, then my soul of my name doesn't work like that. How does it work? You come before the Ribbono Shel Olam and you say, no, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not so brazen faced as to say to you that I'm a tzaddik and that I didn't sin. Oh, but how I wish I could have said that to you. If you were trying to rebuild a relationship with somebody, you wouldn't walk over to them and say, I did this, I did that. First thing you'd say is, you know, I really wish I could come before you and say that I didn't betray you. I really wish I could have said that. Oh, how I wish I could have said that. But I can't say that because that would be a lie. So I'll tell you what I did. I did this, I did that, I did the next thing. But the intention is not really to go over the words. The intention is, I want to build a relationship. That's why we say it. In other words, I know I'm not deserving in the world of din because Ashamnu. I mean, deserving in the world of din because Bagadnu, because Gazalnu, because Dibanu Dofi, because Hayavinu, etc. And all of those things, yeah, I'm sure everybody's got a little booklet. Yeah, that say that you expand each one of these, the Aleph expands to a healthy below Barakah, Kilo, and Sofa, a healthy Kapan Lashim Shemayim, the healthy Barmasuri, a Martin, etc. And Bagadu, we tell me, Kawar Baraki, Brakhla, Bakam, Brakash, and Israel, Brakam, Kuni, Bakabana, and Gazalu, etc., etc. Each one of them expands and expands and expands and expands and expands and expands. It's true. But the upshot of all of it is not just to say over and over and over, more and more and more, though sometimes that is beneficial, yeah? It shouldn't be a diminishing return, though. But the point is that it all relates back to, I wish I could have said that I didn't betray you, but I did, and this is what I did. So that's the way we hook up, as it were, with the din, right? With the din. With the din on the floor. It's Yom Rachamim, the din. It's Yom Rachamim, Rachamim of Hashem, Hashem, Kelrachum, Lechanun, Erech, Apani, Vavchetet, Behemet. 13 principles, yeah, of Akash Boko's love for us. Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Gimel is the Gematria, yeah, Ahava, right? Ahava. The love, what's the poor upon it? But we gotta do something. We gotta do something. So first we say, right? We express our charata, our regret. And like we talked about before, charata doesn't mean tov shahaya, aval haya tov. Yeah? Tov shahaya, that's a tameh modern Hebrew expression. It means it's good that that's over with, tov shahaya, aval haya tov, but it was good while it lasted. Then you can't say that and really be serious about regretting having betrayed somebody else. We mentioned, I think, in another context, yeah, the charata is the sort of thing that a person would feel if they found out, yeah, that the hamburger they just ate with her Aunt Sadie. Right? A person wouldn't say, a person wouldn't say, oh, so sad. But she was good with them, wasn't she? It'd be gross out of their mind. They'd be repulsed by the action. Nachon? Could anybody say Tov Shaya about Hayat Tov? About something like that? But the thing is, how can you say we're coming back, to reestablish a relationship? We're coming back to reestablish a relationship with Hashem. We're just saying, you're going to Shalom, you know? I really wish I could have said to you that I didn't betray you. I really wish I could have said that I didn't betray you. But I did betray you. I betrayed you this way and that way and the next way. But you know, God, let me just tell you. It was a blast. Oh, but I'm really so sorry. What does that mean? That's nonsense. That's a sheker. That's probably a bigger chutzpah than the sin itself. Isn't it? It's for sure a bigger chutzpah than the sin itself. So on the one hand, I wish I could have said that I didn't betray you, but I did betray you, and I regret it. Now, it's not so easy, to let go of that, to let go of, to have that sort of attitude, to have the attitude of what, that it was a catastrophe, what I did. But it is something to aspire to. It is something to work on. And to believe that that's not, the rung and the ladder that we should be aiming to is extremely foolish. I'm not saying it's easy to get there. But it shouldn't be our goal. It's stupid and it's callous. Incredibly callous. On the other hand, something else takes place on Yom Kippur as well. Yom Kippur, it's actually more clearly seen to a certain degree through the Seir HaMishtaleach. Seir HaMishtaleach, the scapegoat. There were two goats, two Seirim. One was the Seir LaShem, one was the Seir LaZazel. Seir LaZazel is Te'ilum, the Kohen Gadol Te'ilum puts all the sins upon that. And they send it off with an escort through a craggy peak in the desert, and then it would be thrown off the peak. And with that, the sins of the Jewish people are erased. What's the symbolism there? Or perhaps the Medrash describes it in the following fashion, and perhaps we'll understand the symbolism a little bit better. Mashallah Mahadavid Gomer, what is it comparable to, says the Medrash? To a person who is winnowing, his grain. Now, after the grain is threshed, after you've walked upon it, oxen, etc., which breaks open the husk, and you're left with a big mound, a big mound of grain, which is all good stuff, and husks and chaff, which is all the stuff that you want to get rid of. And so what happens is you winnow it. You toss it into the air, and the wind carries away the chaff, which is lighter, and the grain falls back down to the earth. So now, what happens? The Seder Medrash is comparable to two individuals on the side of that threshing floor. One is hairy, and one is smooth. Yaakov is an Ish Chalak, and Esav is an Ish Seir. The one who's very hairy, all the chaff that caught his hair. The one who is Ish Chalak, who's smooth, he just brushes himself off and leaves immediately. That's the mashal that is used from the Seir Mishtaleach. So what does it mean? It means that when we are trying to get rid of all of those sins, as it were, right? Why should Hashem let us get rid of them? Just because we say, I sinned and I'm sorry and I didn't mean it, or I did mean it but I won't do it again, and I really wish I couldn't say that I didn't betray you, but I did betray you. Like, why? Because what we're saying is our essence is not that sin. That's not us. That's Esav's realm. It's the false personality that we've allowed to become attached to us. But after a while, there's a little different difficulty, or maybe more than a little difficulty, differentiating between who I really am and who I think I am. That's not me. That's the Seir Mishaleach that goes to Esav. That's his realm. My Ratzon, really in my heart of hearts, is to be attached to you, to be close to you. So on the one hand, we evoke Hashem's Ratzon, pour upon us endless rachamim, you will meet the rachamim. On the other hand, we express our regret. Oh, halavai, I wish I could have sent you today that I didn't betray you, but I did. I did the following. And why is that meaningful? Because all those sins are not really me. They're not really me. It's true. I may have done a lot of them. I may have done them over and over again. I may not have cared, but in my heart of hearts, that's not me. That's really not me. There is another aspect also. Yom Kippur. Another aspect to Yom Kippur in that is the Ketores. The Ketores, Katar, the knot. The Ketores is also what binds us all together. In the Ketores, we may mention before, that there's also something called Galbanum. Galbanum. Galbanum is a foul-smelling thing. It stinks. When you put it together with the Ketores, it creates an incredible aroma. It's an incredible aroma. The Ketores was brought with Tanai and the Tanim, was brought to the Kodesh Kadosh. Only on Yom Kippur. Say Chazal, why is Kelbana found in Ketores? To tell us that those people, even who have sinned, but they want to come back, we shouldn't repulse them from our midst. Because from each one together comes the sweet swell of Ketores. It's not just people who have sinned and want to come back, but it's each other. In order to be Zocha B'din and Yom Kippur, if I don't recognize the worth of people around me, even though they're not necessarily all my cup of tea, not everybody is everyone else's cup of tea. Not everybody is everyone else's best friend. But if we are so flawed that we think that we can go it alone, if we are so flawed that we don't realize that without each other, right, there's something dreadfully missing over here, we've got a messed up view of the universe. Klal Yisrael is one great body politic, one great organism upon which the Shekhinah rests. All of my pluses, I also got deficiencies. My neighbor's got deficiencies, which I usually see, but I have to train my eye to see that they've got some pluses as well. And sometimes it's not so easy to find those pluses. But even if I can't even find them, I got to know there's something special there as well. Do I know exactly what circumstances they're coming from? Maybe the unique light that they release within, the world is because they come from very difficult circumstances. Or circumstances that to me maybe don't appear so difficult, but because of their nature, their makeup, it's particularly difficult. So therefore, when they are able to withstand that pressure, when they're able, as it were, to be omitted in their nisonis, whatever it happens to be, released in the unique light. I need them. We need each other. We can't do it alone. The Shechinta begalusa, the Shechinta being begalus, among other things, is caused by period between the neshamos, and there's division amongst us. So again, we evoke Hashem's rachamim, you give me the rachamim. We state before you, I wish I could say I didn't betray you, right? But I did. We try to be mischarek to the best of our ability in a way that we don't look at it very casually and say, yeah, tov shaya, aval haya tov. Haya tov. Because that's so incredibly repulsive. Right? Imagine saying to somebody, you know, I hurt you. I'm really sorry I did. There was a blast while I did it. I mean, is that an apology or is that another further insult? Why should he accept? Because on Yom Kippur, we have the opportunity, as it were, to remove ourselves from that false self. Not me. Like the Sefer Mishnah so graphically described it, yeah, or portrayed it, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, even without the Sefer Mishnah, Yom Kippur itself has that capacity, it has that facility. That's not me. I know I'm really used to that being me, but that's not me. Honest Hashem, that's not me. Torah. They're tied to one another. Lamaisa. We haven't hit Yom Kippur yet. We're still in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Why do we think Aseret Yemei Teshuva is here? Why do we think it's here? It's just like a holding pattern until we get to Yom Kippur? Aseret Yemei Teshuva is necessary in order to reach Yom Kippur. Just like in a car, you don't go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. It doesn't go. In order for a person, as it were, to make the sort of changes so that when he says to them, it's not me, to mean it on some level, a person's got to implement it now. Hayom. Not tomorrow. It's like saying to the doctor, God, I've got this really deep penchant for swallowing arsenic. I'm really into it. I'm super, right? I can feel like the poison entering, you know, all my blood vessels. It's like such a special feeling, right? And the doctor says, you're killing yourself. Okay. So fine. Next week, I'll stop. Next week? Really? How fascinating. Now. This second. It's not just that. But the Pasuk says, Koya Hashem Yachlifu Koach. Yahu Ezra can assure you. The roots of where you go, Yelchu lo yafu. Those who place their trust in Hashem, they rise upward like eagles. Right? They'll run and they won't become tired. They'll walk and they'll not become weary. So there's once a big tzaddik, yeah, passed away a few years ago, right? Nisim Yagen. And he used to say, why did it say two things there? Yeah, the walking, or weary, the running, or tire. He says, because the two kochot are nefesh in a person's avodas Hashem. Sometimes you got to put on, right, all the gas. And go all out, right away. That's yarutsu, run. People who, as it were, really want to be close to Hashem, they know there's no turning around right now. Boom! Fast forward. That's you like Yom Kippur. But in order for this to last, in order for me to really think of it seriously, to consider it as really as though I'm portraying before our Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm a different person. Or not so I'm a different person. I wasn't that person. And a person has to accustom themselves also to walking and not growing weary. Life is not just about spurts. Life is not just running 100, yeah, I got dash. Life is also about being a long-distance runner, or a walker, a marathon. To be able to walk consistently. If a person is going to serve to be achievable, is willing to put in some of those changes. Be a little more careful about mitzvot. Be a little bit more accepting and a little less critical. A little more looking for the good in the people who are not necessarily my cup of tea. Or even if I can't find it, understanding that there has to be something there because God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't create people, yeah, by mistake. And if he created them by mistake, perhaps he created me by mistake as well. But there are no mistakes. Each person's got a purpose. And not just to be my gadfly. Each person's got something, yeah, to contribute. To appreciate the presence of someone else as well. If I begin to enact this a little bit during the time of a Seder Teshuva, the time of walking, that when Yom Kippur comes, right, we hear Kol Nidre, right, we hear the haunting melody of Kol Nidre, and we hear the Avoda, and we say Vidui, and it'll come to the end of the day with the Ilan, and we'll feel the Sharim closing. And we want to get in those last philos, as it were, before the Sharm closed. Because like I said, there's an order to the metaphysical universe as well. We want to get it in then. But if we know that we tried during a stairs to make tshuva, so we know it's a little real. We know it's not a game. It's not a game. We treat it like a game. We don't treat the spiritual concerns of our life the way we treat the physical concerns of our life. We don't go, as it were, running around a narrow mountain pass at 100 miles an hour. That's foolish. That's taking unnecessary chances. We certainly shouldn't want to do it on a ruchniyistic level. Gedarim. How big is the gedarim? Where should the gedarim be placed? Every person figures that out for himself. But there's got to be some, as it were, some perimeter fence that we put up. If we would expect that on a highway, we were traveling in a car, certainly we would expect it, the way we conduct ourselves in our relationship to Hashem. Or should we dance around the edge of the cliff? Shouldn't fall. Who would do that in their right mind? No one. But if we don't keep ourselves two steps away from what we know is usher, so then are we really believed? Is it believable to say that I'm sorry I betrayed you? Right? I wish I could have said that I didn't betray you, but I did. But that's not me. Two steps back. How? Where? In what things? What area? Everybody knows himself best. Hopefully. And finally, it's very important to know how to fall. All of these things that we're talking about here are techniques of how we pick ourselves up. The other medicine we talked about before, remember we talked about the difference between Mizmor Ladavid and Ladavik Mizmor. When it was Ladavik Mizmor, he was already flying the Ruach HaKodesh before he started singing. When it was Mizmor Ladavid, he needed to pick himself up in order to have Ruach HaKodesh come upon him. So there's a technique. The methodology, how to pick oneself up. Try to talk about it a little bit now. You can move me to Sarachamim, Vidui, Seir Mishnaleah, Ketores, some of those symbols. But in addition, you have to know how to fall. Plus it says in Mishle, Kisheva Yipol Tadik Vekam. It doesn't mean what people think, that in spite of falling seven times, the tzaddik got up, etc. Kisheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. But rather, what made him into a tzaddik, because ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yachta. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody stumbles at one point or other. The question is, how does one pick oneself up? Kisheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. through the way that he picked himself up from his falling, that's what made him into a tzaddik. If I fall and I say, see, I can't do it. Goes to show you, I can't do it. What's the point of trying? I'll leave this for, you know, for the people of the tzaddikim, the tzaddikamiyos. I'll leave that for them, right? That's for them. For me, I can't do it. I mean, be nice, you know, maybe in another world, maybe another lifetime. If I'm reported, they bring me back as a Gilgal, hopefully not as a snail, right? So we got another chance again, so maybe that's lifetime, but I can't. It's not for me. It's just not for me. Kisheva yipol tzadik hakam. People fall. We all fall. But the way you pick yourself up and say, of course I got to go forward. What else did I come here for? And for every bit of sweat, for every drop of blood that it takes out of my guts, out of my kishkes, to pick myself up, it gets hard for that. Because God knows how difficult it is for me. Not all people are made the same. Not all people have the same natural kohos, as it were. L'fum tzara agra. According to the difficulty, so is the reward. The way a person picks himself up, with the knowledge that there ain't nowhere else to go, only to pick myself up. And God knows how difficult it is for me. So that's schar, right? It's always shamur for us. It's always, yeah, stored away and saved for us. It's precious. So during a service to make shuva, becoming a kippur, let's remember some of these things. Let's think about them. Let's think about how desperately Hashem loves us and He wants to cleanse us completely. He wants to pour rachamim, endless, 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 infinite rachamim upon us to cleanse us completely. But we have to make some sort of effort within the world of din. How do we do it? We do with bidui. Oh Hashem, I wish I could have said to you that I didn't betray your trust, but I did. I did this, I did that. I regret it. I aspire to never want to go back to this again. I aspire. And you know what? I'll make some changes. I can't promise you I'll never go back to this again, but at least I'll make changes and shows that I'm interested. I want to. I'll make a fence here and I'll make a fence there. I'll keep myself a little bit more distant from what I need to keep myself distant from. I will. Because what I was before is not who I really am. Remember that everyone around us is inextricably bound up to us. They're not dispensable. No Jew is dispensable. We're all indispensable. So it's not just his problem, right? He's not my cup of tea. It's my problem. To practice now during our service, make tshuva, to learn how to walk, right? So that when the time comes to run, we learn how to run. When the kol nidreis and when the ne'ilas come, right? And to remember, when we stumble along the path of life, not to think that it's over. The way that we pick ourselves up, the commitment with which we pick ourselves up, and the knowledge that as difficult it is for me to pick myself up, that gives me all the more schar, l'fum tzara agra, according to the difficulty, so too is the reward. That should always keep us with forward momentum. Hashem Baruch Hu should give us a gemar chasima tova, right? All of us together, all of Klal Yisrael together. We should work the whole year round. We should learn to appreciate each other, right? To appreciate each other, each with our own different kokos. It should be a successful Aseret Yom Tshuva, successful Yom Kippurim, and Be'ez Hashem, a successful year.